This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word to us, let us receive your peace so that we may grow as your people in love for each other, living in your light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At Christmas time, especially on Christmas Day, we pay great attention to the great gospel of the Incarnation from John chapter 1. Let's hear again some verses from that Incarnation chapter. What has come into being in the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This distinction between light and darkness is one of the big distinctions that you get in John's Gospel. And here, in this great Gospel of the Incarnation, the light we see comes from the Word made flesh, the second person of the Trinity, born as one of us, a little baby lying in Mary's lap. There is the light of God for all people, also for us today. Now, Christ being the light of God for all people, for all the nations, is something we'll be thinking about as we also deal with a text from Luke. Starting off with it, we'll head back to it at the end of the sermon and think about its applications for us today. Not simply its applications, but how Christ's light shines among us, how Christ does his work here and now in this congregation. Well, let's listen to how today's text begins. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, first of all, note we're dealing here with a personal revelation. Simeon had received a word by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. We often picture Simeon as older, although the text does not explicitly say that as it does about Anna. All we know is he's received a private revelation that's going to have public consequences later on, and that death won't come before he sees the Messiah. I think it's worth paying attention to the reality of private revelations, of words from the Holy Spirit, such as we see in today's text. We don't proclaim these private revelations as the gospel. What we proclaim from the pulpit is repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. That's the apostolic message, and that's what I hope you hear from here, Sunday by Sunday. And yet, in God's economy, and how God works things out, we read from Scripture, and perhaps have also experienced in life in the church that people can get personal revelations, as Simeon did. Christians can have different opinions about these matters and how they work out, but we can think about how the text of the Scriptures speaks about them. Simeon had one of these, and we know this, that his private revelation was authentic because of where it led. His private revelation led to Christ and the proclamation of Christ. We don't proclaim Simeon and what he has done for us. We don't even proclaim Simeon's private revelation as saving. We proclaim Christ as our Saviour. And yet here it is, Simeon experiencing a private revelation. It seems to me, and you can take or leave this, we can be open to these sorts of things also in our own lives. The leading of the Spirit, and been open to the voice of the Spirit, but we know we're on firm ground when we receive this through Holy Scripture. When it leads to Christ, we're on firm ground. When it leads to praise of Christ, we're on firm ground. Also, when it leads to suffering with Christ, to my mind, that's a sign of authenticity. Note how for Simeon, seeing Christ means now being ready for death. Jesus said, "Follow me, take up your cross." This, we could say, is how it was also for Simeon, if you like, a proto-disciple of Jesus. For him to see Jesus was now to know that death could come. But death, that would not be the end for him, but life. Here's how the text goes on. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms. The personal, private revelation that had been given to Simeon led him into God's holy place, the temple, and led him to the second person of the Trinity in the flesh, the light of God, Christ Jesus. And he takes this little baby in his arms. The private revelation had done its work of leading him to Christ, the public revelation of God, salvation revealed. Simeon sees in this little baby the salvation of God. And you might expect, if there's private revelation from the Spirit, then what God is going to reveal will be spectacular and special. You could say there's nothing spectacular about a little baby who is a symbol of helplessness in this world, must be carried by his parents into the temple, must be cared for in the most basic ways. But Christ Jesus is the revelation of God, and when the Spirit is given, it leads to recognition that this is who Jesus is. Again, we're on firm ground of knowing that the Spirit is at work when it leads us to Christ, and it leads us to acknowledge his gracious presence, even in ways that seem less than spectacular. We'll come back to this point towards the end of the sermon. Simeon took the child Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Do those words sound familiar to you? We use them liturgically. Three ways, by the way, we mainly use them liturgically in the Lutheran Church of Australia. We use them in the rite for the dying. Some of you may have been present when this rite's been used, but I dare say most of you have not heard it. But being a pastor, I regularly go to people's deathbeds and proclaim these words to them. Words of Simeon, ready to depart in peace. So these words are used in our rite for the dying. They're also used in the rite of Compline, night prayer. Most of you here in Bethlehem know about Matins, morning prayer, and you know about Vespers, evening prayer. We also have the rite of night prayer, prayer just before you go to bed. Some of you may have used it here. It's not regularly offered, though, in our congregation, because it happens usually in households or Christian community just before bedtime. And again, these words are prayed. In the Christian community, there's understanding that going into sleep is a preparation for death. We go into the darkness, and time goes we know not where. Then the morning light comes, and God wakes us from sleep back into life. These words from Simeon seem a very fitting way to go into the darkness of sleep, to prepare ourselves also for the darkness of death, and for the light of God, which will call us back into life. And do you remember the third way that we use it? Well, let's think first of all about what living in the light means. To think about this, and in the Song of Simeon, Jesus is described as a light to reveal God to the nations, words which you also hear in John's Gospel, which I proclaimed at the beginning of this sermon. Jesus being the light for all nations means something for us in the Christian community. Listen to what we read in 1 John chapter 2. "Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness." To hate a brother or sister, to have ill will toward a fellow Christian, to be indifferent to their suffering. This is not light, but this is darkness. This is what Christ came to save us from, we who are not Jews by background, most of us, but Gentiles. It's darkness to think hateful thoughts about another person, to speak about them in malicious ways. It is darkness to drag them down by even how we look at them. It's darkness also to see someone in suffering, a brother or sister, and to be hard-hearted towards it and to show no care. This is not why Christ came into the world, and it's not why he was revealed to the nations, to us too. Instead, Christ came in to reveal light to us, so that we may show love for one another, listen to one another, speak words of encouragement to one another, help one another as we are able in need, to carry indeed our own burdens, but also to help those who are burdened. This is the light of God, the love of God in Christian community, and this is what Christ comes to reveal to us. Now, the third way this liturgical setting, Song of Simeon, is used, of course, is in communion. And we regularly use it after we receive communion. Not today in this service order, but in a normal page 6 service order we do. And for a very good reason. It's not simply that Christ comes to us to give us commands to stay away from darkness, or commands to show love, which is light. Instead, Christ Jesus comes into our community to give us his light, the light of God, so that we may be free to reflect it to one another. At the Lord's table, we receive the gracious presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit who moves us to come here. It's the Holy Spirit who moves us to come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ. And there we hold in our hands and drink with our lips the body of Christ and his holy and precious blood, given and shed for our salvation. Forgiveness coming to us freely. We who need forgiveness because we so often by nature fall back into darkness. It's a gift given too so that we may be brought together with family created by God. Why are we here together today? We who may normally be apart in life? Because here we are together with the Lord, with Christ Jesus. And it's he who gathers us by his word and feeds us for life together. So here around us we see our brothers and sisters, people given to us by God. We may have very different outlooks on life, very different things which please us or displease us, very different personality types. We may not normally, humanly speaking, get on. But here we are free to show love because we are gathered around the one Christ. He serves us. He forgives us. He shows love, which is light in this community. And since we're gathered together in one community by Christ, we grow in this love of Christ as he serves us together. It's because he is with us and because we receive him according to the grace of God, because the Holy Spirit leads us to receive what he gives, that we can depart from here in peace, knowing that we see the glory of God. So when in the communion service you hear these words, you can pray them with Simeon, knowing that when you see Christ and encounter him, you're receiving the light and love of God. Through Christmas, through Epiphany especially, we think about God's light being shone also to us. Let us make our primary focus then Christ our Saviour, the light of God revealed to us, his love shown to us, so that we may grow in love for each other.